for abolition in the future, because of course there will be legislative intervention in this field, and in the process that, as you know, will be undertaken at the level of NADEC as well. And some of the views that you expressed here are captured in the NADEC review report in terms of the CETA landscape. I'm sure I will note all that. Acting DG?
No, thank you, Chairperson. I think on this matter, it's quite important what I think both Bank CETA and FACET, you know, picked on this matter first. And they won't be surprised because that's really their area of focus. Colleagues would recall that this matter is not arising for the first time, and there is a process in place in dealing with it. In the last meeting that both chairs and CEOs had with the minister, I'm just forgetting a date, it's a week ago, it was pointed out there that on the 20th, which is today, the CFOs of CETA would be having a workshop with the CFO of the Department of Higher Education and Training, the Treasury, and the AG's office on this matter. So it's receiving attention, and they are attending to it today, and will hear the outcome there.
Yeah, and we as Parliament hope that it will be properly addressed so that there's no audit qualification on the basis of that. Then the qualifications will be on other issues. Then there will be a head-on coalition between us and those that would have acted against the law. Okay, can I give this moment to members? Maybe I can start from that side with the Honourable Hadebe.
Well, thank you, Chair. Yeah, I guess we just received very tentative issues and some frustrations that have been experienced by the teacher. But I would request that CETA, one of the critical aspects that I've noticed is that you've got programs that are interlinking with one another. And therefore, you should not throw blame into other CETA. My suggestion is that take responsibility, but also try either resuscitate if there is any forum, CETA forum or such kind of a structure. If there is, if there's none, you must, you know, try and look at the establishment of that. So that at least what you do, you interlink and have that collaboration relationship so that at least you address these challenges whereby, you know, one CETA, a CETA, you know, it's supposed to deal with issues of administration, it must link up with somebody else, you know, those set of relations, financial management aspects and all of that. So that at least you sort out your problems. But lastly, Chair, I think I'll just mention a few because I think other members will be able to share some of these issues. That, Chair, you see, issues of responsibility comes with aspects of not having any fear. I believe that you know, CEOs when they see challenges within the constitution, they should look beyond that constitution It is fair that you are raising these issues, there's a concern and all that stuff. But there mustn't be an aspect or an element as if you are trying to want to micromanage the board. Because the presentation that I get is that only CEOs that complain about the constitution. You know, you must look it beyond. But also it's good that you raise it. I think we must take it to a further extent that the department must take us into confidence in terms of some of the other aspects so that we try and clarify this role and be clarified so that nobody must feel that his job is at stake here. We must be able to put service delivery. The issue of service delivery aspect, of targets, it's a key aspect. When we talk about job creation, we talk about skills development. You know, teachers, they must come with, you know, very tentative number of those deliveries. Nevertheless, we won't be able to achieve what the president wants in terms of the skills development and the job creation. Tension.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Look, let us admit that the time was very short, very brief to interact with our colleagues from the CETA. But also just to say that it's very interesting that given that some of them are very new, but they were able to articulate the kind of challenges that they are already facing. But I guess the challenge of leadership is after having identified those challenges, come up with a plan to address them. I don't think that this was just a lamentation session by chairpersons and CEOs. Just want to comment on something that I think is out there, is being discussed. I've heard some of other chairpersons or CEOs talking about the need for independent board members and all those things. I guess for me, while you talk about independence, I'm also going to say, what about stakeholder participation? And I'm going to tell you, as a politician, I have problems with bureaucracy, and I'll always lean towards participatory democracy. So I just wanted to make that comment. But also, I know that this could have been an innocent comment that takes this around mafia style, but I think if we don't respond to it, and then it goes out that we conquered, I know that it's like, I think it could have been said in a lighter mood, but you don't know the kind of what reaction that it can invoke, that we don't conquer with the state sentiment that these are mafioso or something like that. Several of you have said something about the 1%, I'm sorry, the 10% admin being too little. And I hear that some of you have linked it to provincial presence. And I guess those of you who have come to this committee, every time we have always been asking you, where are you situated? Because we don't want Johannesburg organizations, where everybody is in Johannesburg and the people in the outlying areas do not have access to you. So we want to promote that. But remember, some of you have said to us, we're looking at, instead of having in one town, 21 of different offices of CETAS, we have said to look at collaboration, look at what was then called a one-stop kind of service, where we know that in this building, maybe first floor there is this or that seat, or whether it's going to be one office, but I think it's a model that you have promised them in. And for the new chairperson, know that your predecessors promised us this, that you would look at collaboration and sharing resources. Of course, chairperson, like I said, there is a need for a meeting that will take a bit long so that we can share, particularly with new chairpersons, what our expectations are. So that it's not as if we wait for you, we'll fix you when you next appear before us. So that by and large, you understand what we stand for as a committee, what it is that we expect from you, and then you are not ambushed. I was taking records, Chairperson, the food bed and Sasseta, they didn't introduce, there are two names that are missing. So maybe we'll look at a way of addressing that. Let me end with a disclaimer. I'm one of those who have issues with what has happened, issues around the Constitution, issues around the appointment of Chairperson, issues around the desire by the Minister, for example, to even have a state appointment of CEOs. So some of us have issues with that. We'll continue raising it. So we don't want to keep quiet. So that when you hear us, you say, these people are speaking from both sides of the mouth. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Chairperson, I'm extremely concerned after this morning. You know that I represent a party that has in the past consistently called for the scrapping of the CETAs. This morning, I'm not convinced that we should really change our view. The way in which the CETAs have allowed themselves to be bullied into new constitutions at very short notice, the lack of participation and consultation with your stakeholders is of great concern to us. We would have loved to see a little bit more backbone, a little bit more spine in the CETAs. Also, in terms of your outputs, I've got serious concerns. I'm particularly concerned that nobody this morning has ever referred to the cost of training through the CETA system, which the Minister has referred to quite often, and that sentiment we completely share with the Minister. And I would love the CETAs to find a way to, under the PFMA, start entering into long-term contracts with competent training providers so that we can bring down the costs and up the cost effectiveness of our training in South Africa. Because how is it possible that we are spending more money than ever on training, yet the outputs are not showing that same growth? As a matter of fact, in certain sectors we are training less people than what we've been doing in the 1960s and 1970s. I'm also concerned about the position of the CEOs. Who are they going to report to? I haven't heard that this morning. Are they going to report to he who has approved of them or the boards? And it is something that we will definitely have to get clarity on, and we will be asking questions in that regard. Also, what I've heard about how it apparently was going in some boards, our board members came with their agendas. I think some of our board members then need courses, training in corporate governance issues. How you put aside your personal interests and the group that nominated you when you walk into a boardroom. When you're in a boardroom, you serve that institution and not the people who have nominated you. And they've only got a nominating right. Once you're there, you have been sent with your knowledge, with your skills, and the other board members must be able to convince you to take a new view without you coming into trouble with those people that have sent you. And lastly, and then I'm going to leave some for my colleague here as well, if it's fine with the chairperson. I'm seriously concerned about the quality of sectoral skills plans that I've seen this far. There are some critical skills in this country that just because people focus on a particular sector, and I'm so glad somebody did refer to this thing, that many accountants, for example, are working in other sectors. They're not only working in the financial sector, yet it seems to me as if the CETAs are working, and I hate the word that people have now been abusing the last time of silos, but many of the skills are transversal, yet we see very little of that cooperation between CETAs, whereby the one CETA would say, I will, because it's a critical skill that's also needed in the sector that we serve. I will support the training of people outside that scope of qualifications that we take the responsibility for. So, Chairperson, we would love to see the education system of this country to succeed. But what I've heard this morning, what I've seen this morning, unfortunately did not allay my fears. Thank you.
Chairperson, as arranged with you, my colleague is the expert on seating, so I will stick to what he said on behalf of both of us. Just a short comment or question. We are concerned about problems regarding the continuity of staff at our seaters, and also a question perhaps, are huge amounts spent on severance packages at seaters? What about the court cases? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Nolita Mbuza. I sit on the Portfolio Committee, and I would like to thank the Sita family for the presentation today. Chair, it's really much more about just re-articulating my own understanding of what happened today. To the DG or to the department, the DG says different approaches and different methodologies give different results, which means a new era is born. And I think that I say that because I think that we are confronted by change and newness in the industry. It therefore means that there are new ways of doing things. It therefore means that there are new ways of being. To Ms. Madumel, I know what you were saying, and I appreciated your appropriation of roles to different people. And I understand that and I appreciate it. But I want to say that we have been dealing with sitters. The large part of last year, the whole semester was dedicated to dealing with sitters. The difference is just now that we're dealing with new people within the sitter industry. I just think that the difficulty is also moving from department to department, to the extent that then you articulate your role and function within where you are. And I think that what we're dealing with now is a realignment of what kind of vision and what kind of execution must happen within the CETA industry. And so that is very, very difficult. And I think that we must understand that the department itself is different from where the CETAs were. And therefore, it cannot be business as usual. There has to be alignment to what is happening. This is the Department of Higher Education and Training. And we're saying to the minister that the minister is going to take this whole 5 years trying to streamline, aligning and articulating what the roles and functions of this new animal is. And animal itself is growing beyond even us. We are beginning to learn with it because it's a huge thing. So why I'm saying it is because I heard my colleague, Honorable Khadem, speak about coordination. And I think that I need to contextualize why I think, together with my colleagues, that we need a CETA voice. We need a coherent system. And I think that the administrator said this, that there are 21 systems. The issue is, even with higher education and training, we are trying to come up with a single coordinated system with differentiation. So when we're calling for a coherent voice from the CETA, we don't mean that you must form yourselves into a forum or a union. It means that there must be a voice that is going to articulate even your own differentiation. And therefore, that kind of differentiation or the coherence does not mean that you cannot be innovative or creative, because you have the space in terms of the law to do that, which you can. Because the lack of that voice and that coherence is getting you to be weak. The sitters, and one of the people from the sitters was saying that you have, somebody was saying something about a bad reputation. It is a fact. And somebody can actually say, no, but my sitter is not bad. But the whole sitter has got that reputation. So if, as the Dinokeng scenario, they are talking about walking apart and walking together, if you walk apart, you will have that reputation. If you walk together, you will fight to have a good reputation. Because what weakens the sitters is the whole differentiation within the single system entity. But now, if you have that voice, then we are beginning to understand what the CETA is standing for. For me, Chair, I think that there are a couple of issues, and I'm just articulating what I understood, that there are those issues of strategic importance that the CSAs have presented to us. And I think reputation is actually a strategic issue as well as it is a functional issue. I also think that you presented so much the structural issues around yourself, the whole issues of the composition of the board, the whole issues of the chairpersons, and a whole lot of other things. I must say this, that the whole issue of new chairpersons as appointed by the minister and all, while some of those can be okay, but already the apologies that we have today are actually telling us the problems that are going to go forward. Because yes, we go for the people that are we think that they have what it takes, but those people don't have the time. So these are the issues that we're going to grapple with. Yes, we welcome the chairman, the chairperson, they are going to bring in new vision and new energy, but also I think we have to brace ourselves with the fact that we also have people who are otherwise very busy. And I think that beyond structural, there were lots of functional issues, if I can streamline them. And I think within that ambit, we saw a lot of governance issues. I think for me, the issue of governance is more towards efficiency and effectiveness. Whether you are talking resources in terms of finance or resources in terms of non-financial. So I think that somehow we need to talk about these kinds of things. I think that it was okay that we had this initial conversation that we had. I call it initial chair because we have not gotten into the crux of the matter. We haven't gotten into the issues that we need to be conversing about. The issues, for example, of short courses and so on. We have had people who come before Parliament to say that they get a five-day course and that course is given a certificate. Who can do what when people spend 4 years in university to get a degree that doesn't even get them employed? If you give people 5 day crash course or whatever you call it, and somebody spoke about impact, there's no impact in those kinds of things. And of course, those things are not only illegitimate, they are criminal, because people who present themselves for those types of training, their lives are actually structured around the expectation of what you give them. So you can't give somebody a 14-day course and think that they will change their lives and change the landscape of the nation. So we need to deal with those things. Chair, I am aware of, I'm taking a little longer, but you did give me 1 minute, so let me speak into that minute. I think that a big issue here came in so many, many ways, and I think I want to call it an issue of values. I think that the sitters must be governed by values, and I think that we must agree on the values. And I think that the values have come through from the very presentations that we had. One value that everybody has spoken about is the issue of impartiality. That we here in Parliament, as we speak, we represent as MPs the nation, the people of this country. We don't represent only our parties. We didn't even tell you which parties we represent. Exactly for the reason that when you are appointed to sit as, it's not a battlefield for politics. It is there, it is a platform to develop the nation through skills development. And so the value of impartiality to me is very key, that it mustn't become a battlefield of who sits in the theater and who comes with what money. Somebody said something about resources that are cornered by certain interests. What a huge thing to say, because that is what it is. We need to rid ourselves now. When we speak about impartiality, Chair, how are we going to deal with it? If it's not there, we need to have, for the sitters and for the country, the monitoring and evaluation of the same sitters. We cannot have sitters not being evaluated to the extent that it must impact on what money they get the next time. We are dealing with National Skills Fund, for example. The National Skills Fund keeps on getting money, they keep on not spending it. I'm sorry if they are here, but it's public knowledge. Why would you be getting money if you did not spend it previously? So these things we must talk about. They're not going to be okay, they're not going to sound nice, but they are in the execution of all our duties. Honesty, somebody did speak about honesty. I think Ms. Madumele was talking about honesty, about we get what we are as informed as the setup allows us to be informed, and that to me, accountability. everybody in the supply and value chain of the sitters is accountable, including ourselves as Parliament. I think that, lastly, Chair, the issue that we are within the Department of Higher Education and Training, it therefore skews our mindset or paradigm, shifts it towards having partnerships with colleges and also partnerships with universities, so that whatever comes, we can have this core accreditation, to the extent that whatever then we do is worth the certificate that is written on. I will leave it that, Chair, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think the change in the people landscape had to happen. It is time it had to happen at this stage. I think what we did today was a very good exercise to have all the seaters under one roof, to listen to challenges that are being faced, and also place that and hear from the department side regarding these challenges. However, Chairperson, that does not take the mandate that the seeker has away. And that is the critical role that the seekers play in training and educating our nation. And that is the bottom line that we have, that we expect from the seekers. I'm going to address myself to just some practical things that we picked up this morning. It's a given huge amounts of money are going into the seekers. But are we really seeing what we want to see at the end of the day? I think it was the House and CETA that, or Welfare CETA, that spoke about commitment of funds. How much of this fund is really going into top-level training? And how much of this fund that is in the CETA is going into low-level training? Is the CETA making a difference to put out qualified people out there, or are we just churning out numbers? My colleague spoke to that, addressed that right now. Are we just churning out numbers? The bank sector, for instance, I'd like to challenge. We know that kids are being taken in as tellers through the CETA. They've been paid. After their year contract, what happens to them? They've just gone to the payroll of the bank. So are we using these funds at the end of the day as for cheap labour, or are we really making a difference? And there I want to challenge seekers in saying, are you monitoring these workplace fuel plans? Or are you just looking at numbers? Why do we have a shortage of artisans in our country? We've got the local government sector, we've got MIR sector, we've got T sector, we've got transport sector. Every one of you has spoken about autism training. And I think two or three people have said we need to speak to one another. There's cross-cutting issues. Now why, for goodness sake, haven't those things been sorted out? Why are we still saying we have a shortage of autisms in the country? We've got 6,000 unemployed graduates in our country, according to the department's latest survey. We've got kids coming out of universities of technology in June, July. We've got more coming out in November. These kids have no place to go and do experiential learning. What are the CETAs doing about it? What is the CETA's role in that? And I speak with great passion about this, because we're in communities where kids, parents have paid, they've gone, if they were lucky, they studied through some sort of bursary or through NASPAC, and other parents have paid, and then these kids sit at home because they cannot get experiential learning. I think one of the, I think it's the CEO was saying that I think you've got 11,000 levy payers. If each one just took one kid, it would be 11,000 kids that have gone, that have had some kind of experiential learning. So these are the challenges. I think these are the real issues that we're sitting with. That was the intention of CETAs, to go out and to make a difference, to skill our kids and to educate them. Not to do low-level, one-week, two-week courses that is not even worth the paper that it's written on. I really would love to see the CITES monitoring these workplace and skills plans. And I think almost we need to say that from the portfolio side of the department, we're going to be holding through you the CITES accountable. Huge amounts of money is being placed into these CITES, and we want to see the difference out there. And if it means we're going to have to make changes, and we need to change legislation, then so be it. Because I agree wholeheartedly, an industry or a company cannot believe that the levy that they face to the fiscus or through SARS belongs directly to them. It needs to go out and address skills out there. And if we need to address this, that Chairperson, then I think we need to address that. Thank you.
Chair, thanks. I'm not sure whether I should not say I'm covered.
Only covered.
By what my colleague said and what you are going to say. But then it will surprise members here, so why should we do that? Let me raise a few things, Chair. One, that our expectations are very high. We look at you as people who should assist the country in achieving our objective in terms of the skills planning and provision in the country. So that impact should happen, and I'm afraid we may not have much time to be patient with any of the sitters that may not assist us in that regard. So I'm saying, Chair, that it's not like it's positions of status that people who are before us here are occupying, but those are positions of responsibility. And even if you're saying you've got 11 days in this particular responsibility, to us you needed to arrive running. I think you should be knowing what is expected of you. So whether it's 2 days, 11 days or whatever, the fact is that you've got a responsibility now to take us forward, and you should be able to do that. There are things that will be required of you by law to achieve or implement almost immediately. And it should be within your understanding that you should achieve them without fail. I know you don't want to be like those who were either called to resign or run away from their positions or removed because they could not do their jobs. You would want to achieve and assist us in achieving those particular goals, and therefore there won't be time for excuses. Chair, the NSDS2 used to have targets that were so low, and all the sitters, according to those targets, outperformed themselves because there was much that was actually expected. So we all have achieved very well. The only problem that affected them happened to be issues of corruption, whether perception or real, but it was related to those issues that you even read. It was not necessarily on performance because the targets were very low. But with the NSDS3, we expect that even if you were to see your targets as being less or low, you should be able to pitch them at a higher level so that we don't come here and look at targets that do not mean anything to the country. But we have got a lot of money to do that. I just take it that we may not overemphasize that the 3-day, 5-day kind of workshops which are set to be training and people live there with a certificate of attendance will be something of the past. Because our understanding, even in terms of what the NSDS3 indicates, is that whatever training that we need should be of substantial programs that improve qualification, should support career pathing, should enable greater flexibility and mobility and increase productivity. Not something that we want to use just to get money, you know, somehow, and run away with all that. It won't be accepted. I think at that point, on your own, you will know what you should do in that plan. Last time, Chair, we talked to some individual sitters. There was claim that they don't necessarily understand what transformation agenda would mean as part of their role or mandate. And within NSDS3, that is clear. If there's anyone who's still confused what is should happen, it's clear then. So there's no issue that we should talk about later on when you're supposed to account as to what you should have done at the end of the financial year. Be it issues of race, issues of gender, class, age, disability, all those are also clear. So we'll expect that in whatever you do, inherent in your own program, that is taken care of. And we don't have issues at the end in the program. There's only one sitter chair that made mention to RPN. The rest conveniently kept quiet about all that, as if it does not apply to their sector. And it's not the case. It's a serious challenge, we understand that, but it should be implemented, it should be confronted. You know, and we know the benefits of that in terms of the country. It's not something that was actually raised for the sake of it, that people can choose whether to implement or not to implement it. You know, we should make effort to ensure that I don't want to elaborate that much. I think everybody know that recognition of crime should be implemented in the country, and let's make effort to ensure that is implemented. I'm just wondering in that regard, Chair, whether even sitters were part of the conference that was led by SAQA recently in February, that is, whether you participated in that or not. If not, it will mean that it should be your responsibility to ensure that you familiarize yourself with even the resolutions in that regard. There has been mention of a high drop outrage. It's a worrying factor that as we put money and invest in the training of our people, skilling them, there should be in the process a lot of those who drop out. I think there are those who have put mechanisms to ensure that they support them all the way and are able to guarantee some success. I take it almost every sitter should be able to do that, so that we don't have to be seen to be wasting resources in that particular regard. The last almost chair, the SMSE, there are a lot of those in the country, and we know there are challenges as well. Most of them can't even let go for training of their own personnel because they're so small. We understand those challenges. But I think what is expected of you is to have the programs that are suitable to themselves, you know, to try and reach out to them and ensure that the fact that they can't release people for training should not be an excuse. That you then sideline them somewhat, you have got resources that you should use, but you don't reach out to the most people deserving or in need of this particular resource. The very last share that the issues that were prevalent in the sitters in the past, the very recent past share, most of those who are here don't represent that past I'm talking about, should not recur. It shouldn't be something that we must go back to in the coming year when we're supposed to look at annual reports and all. It should be that you get in touch with the Office of the Auditor General and you plan with them on some of the difficulties that are there long before the end of the financial year, so that there's clarity on what is expected of you and where the resolution. They help you sort out that. They don't have to come in at the end of the financial year all the time. You can actually, along the way, move with them so that you don't necessarily fall into that particular trap and only discover later on that some of the things you are handling there was out of some ignorance or whatever in terms of what, how you interpret laws and all that, and that led you in Padula problem. Of course, there are those of the Siddhas Church who are doing the things that can't be even imagined, like investing in outside countries and many other things, which are not necessarily things to be done, not in your core mandate. What we expect is you to scale our people and ensure that you are upgrading that the skilling of our own people, and you even deal with the mismatch that exists, so that instead of the changes in the economy, you deal with retrenchment, or companies deal with retrenchment, there's retraining and redeployment of people within these industries and not necessarily the other way around. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. Again, I would like to still thank CEOs of CITAS and the chairperson for their presentation. But I think we need to make something very clear to take home. Listening to you, colleagues, is that you think CITAS is some bargaining council somewhere with very great powers, and I think I'm mistaken. A CITA is simply a statutory body accountable to the state. And the minister to whom you account is the Minister of Higher Education and Training. Now, we as Parliament are not entitled to draw up a constitutional account. But what I want to do, we'll consolidate your concerns and check with the ministry as to whether they would not take into consideration the reflections that were advanced. I'm not aware if CITAS had powers on their own to determine their own past. If it was, I think it, maybe that's why there were problems in the last 10 years. The sense is, people say something's coming, you fear it, you want to run away. You create an attitude which will make Parliament think that you're not doing your work, because if really you had concerns about constitutions, you wouldn't have waited to be called by us. You would have long called us and said we've got problems on. Our understanding is that the bodies are considered in terms of a constitution. Now you are raising concerns about some elements of that constitution, so it will be work in progress. The department must look at the concerns that are raised by CITAS to the extent which those can be taken to consideration. So far as we know, is that the minister has the final say in terms of the Youth Development Act, in terms of constitutions of CITAS. We as Parliament, we have not yet reviewed the act, we will review it, yet, but we have not yet reviewed it. But there are a few things. We hear that in the CITAS, people have got big companies that are consultants, training people to be hairdressers of 34 million rand. Those are allegations. But what we agreed with the AG is that we're going to do a thoroughgoing performance audit for the CITAS in this year. So that as we produce, they look at quality. We know that many of our youth out there have got certificates, some uncredited, worthless. But the money that you pay for those courses is huge, and we're not stupid. We see that. That's why we say we're going to take a new approach. And that new approach must be articulated in the National Skills Development Strategy. And if you default the strategy, you are in a wrong trade. The best thing is to go out. Because we need the CITAS to make sure that, look, why, let me just give an example. Why the department could not approve you call them, sector skills plan? It's because the department's plan was rejected here in Parliament. Parliament said, no, this is not all broken things. We need a plan that addresses the problems of our people. How many students are there in the FETs and the invention of technology that must replace, you don't know. You only engage in statistical extrapolations and then you create plans and come here. No, it must not be that. We as Parliament, the whole of upon universities of technology, FETs, and say how many students are in our final year who need placements in the barrier sector. They'll give us within these 2 weeks. Then we'll have that and correlate that with your plan. Have you gone to those institutions to check? Well, you can't plan away from this institution and you think you're helping your people. So the CETA must have partnerships with the universities and the FETs. It's clear. Why? Because these are levies of the state, drawn from employers. That doesn't belong to the employers. This is tax. If we're not in the middle of tax. So it must be very, very clear. Matters of conflict of interest will investigate. I mean, this thing that you as members of the board and CEOs must have companies, then you exchange tender in terms of consultants, must come from them. You may think this is not happening. It is happening in some areas. The auditors will tell us, not you. We're going to go there very sharply, with an eagle's eye, to go in there and see what is causing this resistance. It's not the constitution, it's power. That now, this power is going to be shaken by somebody somewhere. You know, this minister. So we must go to parliament and tease them about the skills development. You must have great courage to do so. Because we are all South Africans, we know the problems, we know the challenges, all of us. So now we must say, let's have a new attitude. Let's accept the new approach. Because fighting a new approach says that you are in another country. Because this government has got only three main branches. The judiciary, the executive, and parliament. But if there's another one, parliament somewhere, we'll see. But if this is the only parliament, then we want to answer the parliament. We're waiting. I mean, we need the service level agreement from the department with the CETA. No, but not in terms of poor targets as it were in the past. All those plans must articulate the agreement of the minister and the president. The new growth path. Industrial policy action plan. The national skills development strategy 3. And the human resource development strategy of this country. If those elements we mentioned are not there, don't think you would approve your budget. Rather, there must be an administrative of something. Because we can't accept the old rules, you think? That is what we need to tell you here. That the CETA and the minister and the DG, insofar as we know, is the DG and the CETA. That's what I explained. Sit down, agree by the 25th of May. If it is not on the table of this portfolio committee, we'll have a problem. Because we are going to debate the vote on the 26th of May. If there are no clear targets and performance indicators in those, we don't need a sector because there is a theory. You know that theory which we see, we have been reading a document. Theory in South Africa, 70 people are unemployed. We know that. We don't need to hear that anymore. We need to hear what is your intervention in your sector. That is very clear. Accountability. We want to thank those sitters that say they've been having clean audits over years. But anyway, for us, a clean audit is not the performance. It's compliance. This is a country that believes in law. If anybody is not going, for you to boast about clean audits, I feel boosting. Because we expect every citizen comply. And in this instance, we say, if you are not going to go into your offices and look at performance, look, if there's a clean audit, in fact, sometimes you must instruct a forensic audit. Because you might further expect concealing a lot of information. Because audit is done through assembly, we know that. We are working here with auditors every day. They tell us what happens in there. So let's not focus on that. Let's focus on clear compliance, not malicious compliance, and sustainable performance. That's what we want to look at. And let's take that home. So that if there's going to be a disclaimer in a CETA, people are going to jail. That's what the people say. It is not happening in South Africa, but in this committee, this is what is going to be done. It's going to happen. We are going to chase monies of our people. The monies that are there are for the employers. These are the sweat, the tears, and the blood of ordinary workers, you know, that are being approached by any of these employers. So we need to look at that as a context from which we must analyze this question. Now, we come to here, there's a meeting now of a vote in this. But what we are saying we need from the ministry is that we must work together with the CETAs. There's a lot of anxiety. People think they're going to lose jobs. But the thing that we don't need permanent CEOs comes from Parliament. We can't have permanent CEOs. Not in South Africa. You can't have permanent members of Parliament. That is a strategic intervention. So if you think the constitution you want to deal with permanent, then forget. If in the constitution you want to deal with issues of respect, you know, I'm from the union or I'm from the employer, forget. Because we as Parliament think that's where the problem is. This stakeholder approach is killing South Africa. We need real people who understand skills development to be the ones who consider to leave South Africa from this position. So that even when we participate in BRICS, it must be on the basis of the skills we have. We don't mind if you produce an engineer who leaves South Africa, but that's what we need. Have all these been engineers, been doctors, what for the world? This is what a global village is. Let's not limit our thinking to South Africa. We need to produce workers that must work for the world, bring the money out there to their country, to feed their families. We are not an island. I think we need to go beyond the thinking of a workforce in the context of just the territory of our country. Now, we are clear that we'll then from the department get our service level agreement. In fact, the performance agreement with clear targets, and the CETAs are here, nobody's absent, only for those who apologize. But clearly, let's just work. When you are not agreeing, the ex says the minister must finalize, we'll wonder from the minister, we'll call the minister, minister, you are people who failed us. We need you to tell us what's going to happen. That's what we need. Well, the others, we can't entertain you. We can't let Parliament talk about business re-engineering process. I mean, that is what the citizens deal with. If we are organizing a department, why should Parliament intervene? I mean, there are new departments now. They are reshaped. That's what must happen here as well, and we can't intervene. It's not our area. Our area is accountability. Whether you follow the law, whether individuals with proper targets that respond to our national priorities, whether there is continuity and sustainable organization from the department and the board. Our worry is in the past. The board will come with a person who must have a tender if you refuse the fire. That must come to an end. The board must work with the employees in the CETA. And the employees in the CETA as well. If they are not qualified, you might just say, look, man, I was employed, but I don't think Guyanese fit well with this new strategy. The deployment is even better than that. Than to wait until people change who they see that they are doing wrong things, they even start asking, are you really qualified? And they found out, no, this is a police officer, in fact, who has been employed as a quality assurance inspector or something of that nature. We must look at those things that are very, very crucial. The burden of the sitters insofar as opposing is law. DORA is law. We have passed the budget. Now we need the budget to be articulated in an annual exercise plan. That's the reason why we're fighting the department. We said go back. So the annual performance plan of the department and the sitters must talk. The minister can't say we need 5,000 artisans and say we need 300 and then performance agreement says 10. There's something wrong there. So this committee, we are going to request the performance agreement of the minister and the president on the 24th of May. And on that day, we need also the same level agreement of all the sitters. They must be, clear on our table. We would need the performance plans of the sitters and the officials. On a quarterly basis, what the honorable member said, we are going to review performance. Yes, it does not happen. This is an activist parliament. We are not so many. We are only 21. We are going to be clustered into 5 clusters. And then we are going to be brought here. Now, not in this last month. And we are going to have experts from the committee focusing on each sitter. We are going to have researchers coming into a sitter to know what we are doing, the tenders we are doing, the kind of programs we give to people, whether indeed you focus only on low skills-based training and so on. We said no to that. We say this is new approach. I'm sure if you have not had parliament today, then, I don't know, because it would mean a different day. Because when we look at you, we look as a coherent, holistic, seamless system. We don't look at you as separate 21 sitters that don't engage with one another. So the department, our request is one. I'm sure you heard it. We need the department to have a sitter forum. If it is not there, convened by the department, because these are your entities. There, that's where we have this inter-sectoral funding coming. That's what we need. We don't want people to be 10,000 on the basis of how much the sector produces. No. It's like saying if in your area there's no water, you can't get water from this village. It can't happen in perfect. We are one state and we're sharing all these resources. That's what we are saying. But however, the concerns that you raised will be taken up. I think the committee said I must tell you that on the basis of the reflections we've had, we'll have a meeting with the minister and the department to say these were the concerns raised regarding the department. But as I said, so you only said you've got concerns with the Constitution. You never came out clear except for one proposal on EXCO. The rest was about unions and workers. Well, you were not really behaving a strong voice then. Was even out of parliament, I'm not interested in this thing of workers and bargaining. We need skills development. That's our focus. Yeah. If we differ on that element, let's differ. Let's see where we differ on skills development and so on and so on. But we are prepared to engage because we need participatory democracy, not stakeholder democracy. Participatory democracy. Our people must know what we are doing and they must be happy with what we do. This will constitute the end of our meeting because there's going to be an extended public committee meeting in place where a vote of a specific type is going to be passed. But even the specific target, I'm sure they will not pass that budget. Thank you. We are released. Thank you for coming. We'll engage at 10 numbers with members of parliament. Feel free.